Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Glory to you, O Lord. The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 15th chapter. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he sat, squandered his property in desolate living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am, dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has gotten him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.' The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You know, the father here really is a saint. First, his younger son asked for his inheritance, which historically was only given after the father had died, and in turn is asking his father, "Won't you just hurry up and die already?" But the father loves his son dearly, and instead of taking great insult, he agrees. He gives his son the share of his wealth and turns him out into the world, not knowing when or if he would see him again. I have to wonder what would have been going through the father's mind as this was happening. It had to have hurt, not only by the sheer implications of the original request of the inheritance, but in the reality that the life he provided and the love held in his heart was not enough to convince his son to stay. This likely wouldn't have been seen as a young man going out to sow his wild oats, but as a testament to his failed parenting. Given the circumstances of his son's departure, it would not be difficult to imagine that the father might blame himself. We don't know how long the prodigal son was gone, but given his condition upon his return, we can infer that it was likely quite some time, perhaps even years. This to imagine every horrible outcome that may have befallen his son, afraid that the last time he saw him was when he was walking away. There is no doubt that the prodigal son was deeply loved, and the father's reaction to his return only affirms that. He's so overjoyed that he cannot help but throw a party. It's at this party that we begin to become acquainted with the elder son, only briefly mentioned at the beginning of the passage, and unfortunately, the image the parable paints of him is not a kind one. The father is benevolent, the prodigal son is humbled, and the elder son is angry. It would be all too easy to write him off as jilted and ungrateful for his brother's return. But if your sibling practically demanded your father die, wouldn't you be angry? Wouldn't you find it a bit ridiculous to come home and find your brother celebrated after all that? The elder son was, by his own admission, nothing but dutiful, whilst his brother was off wasting the family fortune. His anger is understandable, justifiable even, given what we know. It would be difficult not to feel scorn coming home to your ingrate brother getting off scot-free when you have been there day in and day out, doing everything that was asked. The dutiful son. Perhaps he considered himself the good son. Yet being good and dutiful does not change his anger in the face of perceived injustice. In fact, the elder son believes his devotion deserves reward. And so it does. Devotion to family is a fine thing, but the elder son is forgetting something important. He may be dutiful to his father, but upon his brother's return, he would much rather stand petulantly outside, denying that their brotherhood exists at all. When his father goes to him, he proclaims his brother as your son, as no brother of mine. How sad that must have made his father, just as we sadden our Heavenly Father with our behavior. When we stand apart from each other, forgetting that those on the other side of that imaginary but palpable line are indeed our brothers and sisters. We all alternate playing the roles of elder and prodigal son. Like the prodigal son, we think we know everything, and nothing can knock us down. And unfortunately, like the prodigal son, we usually find out the hard way that we are very wrong. We spend our time running from God and fearing his judgment, trying to find somewhere to hide so that we don't have to face him. What we don't realize is that God is, like the son's father, running to us, arms outstretched, wanting to envelop us in his loving embrace. No matter what we have done, God, our eternal Father, will never turn his face away from us. We are his beloved children, even when we feel we are least deserving. But mercy, and our God is absolutely most merciful, is not getting what we deserve. God reaches out to us, longing to hold us near, even when we are at our worst, our most angry, spiteful, jealous. This is where we find in ourselves the image of the elder son. He is so caught up in his own righteousness that he gladly passes judgment that is not his to pass. This judgment allows him to forsake his own brother. Do we not forsake our own brothers and sisters when we also pass judgment that is not ours to give? We live in a time of great divisiveness where everyone is required to pick a side, and if you're not with us, then you're with them. But these divisions only give us reason to forget that we are all our Father's beloved children. It can be difficult to keep such things in mind, particularly when we can only see what our neighbors are doing wrong, just as the elder son could only see what his brother had done wrong. Our parable ends with the father pleading with the elder son to come inside and celebrate. So that leaves me wondering, where does the family go from there? We have no idea if the elder son listened to his father and came inside. We also have no information about the unquestionably awkward conversation that would have followed such a homecoming. The story feels so neat and packaged and doesn't acknowledge the messiness that undoubtedly followed. The elder son gives voice to the complicated and uncomfortable feelings his family will need to confront. There is no mention of how they will move forward and forgive each other. Not even the Father, the ever saint-like Father, declares the forgiveness of his wayward child. We hear that he is filled with compassion for his son's pitiful state, and is so moved to kiss him and give him proper clothing and shoes. But to have compassion is simply to have sympathetic pity and concern for someone. So it's kindness the prodigal son received, something he likely ached for after his ordeal. But it's not forgiveness, something he notably did not ask for. Perhaps he thought he didn't deserve it, or didn't realize how he needed it. Without forgiveness, he would not be able to feel accepted and loved in his family, or know that they are no longer angry or resent him. We, as human beings, are voracious sinners. Even though we know better, we still do it time and time again. When people in our lives hurt us over and over, it gets old, doesn't it? It gets harder to reach into our hearts and find that forgiveness to give. We begin to think, well, if they do this, or promise me that, or apologize more sincerely, then I'll forgive them if they just jump through one more hoop. They've really got to earn it, you know? Do you think Jesus ever stopped to ask if we had earned or deserved his forgiveness when he died for us? The love Jesus has for us is beyond our comprehension. There are no grudges or hoops to jump through. We simply need to ask for forgiveness, and we have it. Jesus is not bound by humankind's demands for retaliation. Jesus reveals to us a God of boundless grace and mercy. The forgiveness and love of God are guaranteed to us by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. We did not earn it. We do not need to. This unfathomable grace is a defining characteristic of God. A God who loves us so much that he would send his only son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, to free us from sin and death. We are freed from sin and death to serve our neighbors, to show them compassion, mercy, and grace. Not to earn a word from God, but to better the world and the lives of all people. While we do not know if the prodigal son found himself forgiven, we know that we are. Jesus promises this to us, just as he promises us eternal life. Amen.